I'm delighted to welcome today Melinda Mulcahy, who is a very curious person. Your website, curiousyou.com, tells us all about it, but curiosity and mental health in particular through your coaching and mentoring programs. So why Curious You? How did you get to that name for a website?
I want people to become more curious. So I think that it's really, really an important part of our whole mental abilities. So Curious You just seem like a good one.
it's a great title. I've interviewed hundreds of people now over the years, and some of the websites they come up with are really wacky and peculiar, and some are fantastic. And what you say is you know, it's what it says on the tin, isn't it? CuriousYou.com. Okay, normally I finish with a website, not start with it, but it intrigued me. So curiosity, why should people be curious? What's the big deal about, you know, curious about what?
Curious in any way, shape or form. I think really majority of people these days aren't curious. I don't think there's scientific evidence behind that, by the way. We tend to lead by assumption. And I think this is the biggest problem in all throughout humanity at the moment, whether it's in dating, people assume in dating, whether it's making connections with people, they assume, whether it's in mental health, people just assume they know. In business in particular, there's a lot of assumption in business. So what I do is bring the real basic fundamental thinking back into thinking. So it's a process. Thinking is a process which very much requires questioning, curiosity. Curiosity is more than just questioning. Questioning is a result of your curiosity. So and let me just quantify that. Even if you have a question, sometimes even questions may not be triggering your curiosity. So there's quite a few nuances with curiosity. But fundamentally, if you're thinking, you're using your curiosity muscle. If you want to think more effectively, then it's really important to make sure that you're using your curiosity in the right way to capitalize on it. If we were to look at some of the world's greatest achievers throughout history to date, the only commonality, I don't care what anyone says, if you actually read their stories, their only commonality is their curiosity.
You mentioned a muscle, curiosity muscle. Where's that? What is it? How does that work?
Yeah, it's viewed as a muscle because when you are more curious, when you develop it, when you develop your curiosity, that muscle strengthens. So it's a bit like, you know, these days, like thinking is technically is classed as a muscle. If you want to think more effectively, if you want to, get more of what you want, you need to strengthen that muscle. So it's referred to these days as a muscle, which I know seems quite strange. But it's not just a muscle, it's a number of things. I mean, it can be, you could view it as a trait, you could view it as a skill, you could view it as a feeling or a state. There are, curiosity is a number of things. And that's the other problem with curiosity is that people assume that it's just one thing, but it really does go into a number of factors. Again, to do with thinking, but as I say, a state, who would believe that it's a state, but it very much is. It's a state of being. It's an energy. So it's quite a number of things.
Okay. And I suppose it's with questions, it's asking the right question, because unless we ask the questions in an appropriate manner and they're the right questions, they're not going to get us anywhere if we're asking the daft questions. But how did you get into this, Melinda? It's not something that, you know, you'd think, oh, I want to be a curiosity mentor when you're a kid. So how the hell did this come about?
And the thing is, I've ended up making this up as I've gone along, and then it's just kind of worked, you know. I over the period of my life has suffered with various degrees of mental health, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, I even ended up having a breakdown of what they, you know, I know that a lot of people don't term it that way, but for me it was, where my brain physically popped in my head, and I was left in a fairly bad state for several months. So I have had difficulties, like a lot of people, right? And then I had brain fog, and that really put a stop on everything, because when I had brain fog, I literally could not punch through my thoughts. Went to the doctor in his 10 minutes to give me, just handed me the one pill fits all, is what I call it, the antidepressants. I said it wasn't depression. He said, well, just try these for six weeks, come back, and then we'll reassess. And I'm like, what? So I left there none the wiser, absolutely knew it wasn't depression. So I got curious. The first thing I asked, well, what the hell is this? And my curiosity led me down a track of unbelievable self-discovery. I not only worked out how to clear my brain fog, but fundamentally how the brain works. And that led me on a spiritual path of discovery as well, not just a physical and mental path. So I ended up quantum hacking. I don't like to use the word biohacking because I actually look at energy. I quantum hacked myself. I ended up losing, and you're not going to believe this, 6 stress sizes. And I completely cleared myself up. And then I hit a divine storm where the universe tested me, and I had cancer. Now, the funny thing is, I heard the voice telling me I had cancer. I went to the doctors and said, you need to test here. 8 months later, I had cancer, had to have everything taken out. It was cervical cancer, by the way, had to take everything out. And then I went into the hell of menopause. And I'm talking very severe menopause. The oncologist specialist actually said it was probably the worst menopause he'd ever seen. I even ruptured my Achilles heel, my Achilles tendon. Do you know what? Just so many things. The mental side of that was just horrific. Every day it was like walking in a sandstorm. And I remember every day just thinking, okay, I've got this. How can I deal with this? I've got this. How can I deal with this? And there was literally something every day. I was kind of like, okay, how do I deal with this? And my friend said to me, well, how did you get through so much? And I went, I don't know. You know, I guess I was just curious. I just wanted to figure out how to get out of this situation. And boom, it hit me. And I thought to myself, do you know what? When I was at the doctor and he gave me my diagnosis and he said to me 5 times, and in the end, he held my hand like to grab my attention. And he said, you know, you can cry now. And I said, I don't want to cry. I want to know what you're going to do and what I'm going to do to improve my odds of survival. And he was blown away by that. He sort of like, wow. And when I left the hospital, I was the last one in and the first one out. My recovery was tremendous. And he said he just knew I would be, you know, an exceptional patient. Do you know what I mean? Because I just had this thing about me, because I wanted to improve the situation. I didn't want to make it worse. You know, I did everything in my power, but it was all through my curiosity. And when I answered that question, when my friend sort of asked me, it was just like a trigger went off in my head. What the hell is this curiosity? Now, interestingly enough, throughout that process, I was looking at positive psychology, you know, the powers of gratitude, the powers of happiness. But here's the thing, you can have all those in place, but when you're in that moment where, you know, you've been given that negative diagnosis, you can't be happy. You can't be grateful for it, but you can be curious. And that means that there's no, it's not contingent upon anything like all the other wonderful things that we're taught. So I started really looking at it and realized I came up with or identified up to 70 benefits. Now, happiness, by the way, is one of the benefits of curiosity. You can't be happy without that degree of curiosity. You know, what makes me happy? Boom. And then you have the curiosity. So it's always there. It's at the base of a lot of science now. And we're only just starting to see that. I know it's long-winded. Yeah.
So you mentioned six dress sizes. So you were obviously larger than you are now.
Mm, yeah.
When I had stage four cancer, I had to drop my weight. And I didn't realize I had so much to lose because I was just buying bigger and bigger suit sizes.
Yeah, as you do, as you do.
So, well, you know, yeah. I'm getting older and, you know, things are spreading and we didn't think anything of it. But once you see the light, you know, you never go back, do you?
No. And here's the thing with the dress size or the loss of weight and the improvement of my health, my cognitive function. You know, for me to have lost that weight, I utterly and totally used my curiosity. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did was continually look at the foods that I was eating and consuming, and I would check how that felt in my body as I ate it, an hour after I ate it, 4 hours after I ate it. And then I would determine, you know, whether or not my body wanted it. And what I realized when I went down that level of curiosity, which I didn't know about at the time, obviously, I was then able to tune in to what really felt good and what empowered me and what didn't. And when you tune into that, what I want more, what I want, what's going to make me feel really good, that's such a powerful place to come from, which is exactly what you've done too. It's like, you know, I don't want this anymore. Boom. So you know what you don't want. What do I want? What's going to make me feel good? And that's all curiosity.
And listening to the body, as you clearly do and did do, is so important and so overlooked. We are the experts on our own body. We don't need anybody to tell us how we feel. We know how we feel. We know what bits hurt, what bits are okay, and so on and so forth. But people then tend to mask. They'll take a pain clear or medication is obviously dished out like sweeties these days in the doctor's surgery. And sadly, they get paid to do that. The way the medical profession has gone is got more and more pharmaceutically based, but of course that's because they're funded by the pharmaceutical companies in the medical schools.
Yes,
what you can do naturally to go along, if you do need medication, because some people do need medication, there is a place for it.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
it's
sure.
Not something that I you know subscribe to unless it's absolutely vital, but there is a place. But there's so many things that go undetected that we can find out ourselves, and we have got the answers within our own body if we just listen and take note.
Yeah. So
what were you doing before you got into this pickle? So how did you grow so big? What were you doing I guess you were in an unhappy state to have got to that point, but what was happening in your life?
Yeah, I realized at one point in time, I mean, as much as I loved what I was doing, I had my own business. I used to make jewelry. And at one stage, you know, I had some very big celebrities wearing my stuff. But what I realized is that I was just getting sicker and sicker and sicker in my head. So, and in my body, the it's always in the head first, but it kind of trickles down into the body. So yeah, it was just like, just get me out of this. Just get me the hell out of this. But of course, you know, you don't want to think like that. But at the same time, you just want whatever the negativity is to stop. But you don't know what that is until you're willing to kind of ask the questions, right? What is going on? What's going on? What is feeding this problem? Which is what you talk about. Because here's the thing, like even when you talk about anxiety, if you go onto any website that the government or any of those big companies talk about anxiety, they don't talk about the real problem. They don't talk about the real problem. I talk about the real problem and get you straight into where it is that you can fix so that you can move forward. And, you know, in terms of anxiety, you know, it can happen every single day. It still happens for me because of everything was taken out. You know, I don't have the estrogen and the collagen that my body needs to improve certain processes. So there are days or even weeks and sometimes even months where my anxiety flares up, but I also take absolute measures to get it under control as quickly as possible now. And I have these measures in place that I teach people, because it's really, really important that you get to the heart of the real problem. What's the real problem causing it? And if our medical industry could be a lot more like that, we wouldn't have diabetes. We wouldn't have alcoholism. We wouldn't have people overdosing on drugs, because these are the symptoms of a far deeper problem. And the other problem I see is that the medical industry makes it out to be an unsolvable issue. And I don't believe it's an unsolvable issue. I believe it is firmly solvable when you have certain systems in place. What are those systems? It's about thinking in a particular way that gets you results. That's it. Now, that's the only difference between people who don't achieve, people who are ill, and people who are high achievers, and people who are healthy. They have systems in place, they follow those systems, and it's a process of thinking. And that's the fundamental element of every human being. If we get this right, we won't have these problems.
And that's a big ask. That's a huge ask. That's never going to happen, sadly, is it? Because, it's we're human. And in the society that we're currently living in, that is so fast-paced, multidimensional, multicultural, multigenerational, multi-everything, it's overwhelm. Every which way we look, there's overwhelm, isn't there? And even when we get the balance right, then something else goes out and then the balance that goes again. But the mind-body connection is absolutely so huge. It makes such a difference. And the curiosity, I hadn't thought very often about the word curiosity. It's not something that comes up, hasn't come up on my radar, but it will do now. Because
you see it everywhere.
Yeah, it's like a yellow car. You buy a yellow car, you see yellow cars everywhere. But with the curiosity, I was born with a kidney condition that wasn't diagnosed till I was 22, and then I was put on medication and told it's the condition is rare, it's incurable. Medication is the only way for life, and I believe that. And I was a really strict specialist, and I went along with that, and then. Through a back problem, I saw a chiropractor who introduced me to a nutritionist, and the rest is history. That was over 20 years ago, and the incurable condition that I'd be on medication for life, I fixed it naturally by being curious.
Absolutely.
What if this, what if that? Yeah. Changing my diet and nutrition and so on and so forth, my thinking patterns. And the same when I had stage 4 cancer, which I beat in 3 months. It's everything is doable, and we are living proof that we can do this, but not everybody is as resilient. And there's a lot of people who are introverted, they're holding on to things, they're holding on to their emotions. And sometimes I find that people are actually hiding behind their condition. If their condition is suddenly relieved, who are they? And so they continue in this cycle, negative cycle of I've got this condition, I've got that condition. Well, if you're owning it, if you're saying you've got it, you're never going to get rid of it, are you?
It's an excuse. Actually, that's another coping mechanism. It's just another coping mechanism. That's it. But when we realize that these are coping mechanisms for us to deal with life, here's the thing. When you understand the fundamental element of thinking, you can deal with those. But you've got to get that first. We weren't taught this at school. We were taught how to count. We were taught how to write. We were taught how to read, right? We were not taught that thinking is a process. And the process is a little technical in some ways, but it's also incredibly easy. And there is one caveat that I'll share with you right now that the brain goes through, and that is risk over reward. It's a caveat for life. You get this right, you will absolutely fly. If you get this wrong, then you end up going down the route of excuses, coping mechanisms, ill health, disease, death. I hate to point it out, but that's the facts. What we need to do is get everyone to understand this process, and when they do, things will change.
It's simple.
It's so simple. But it's so simple.
We're not taught, we're taught at school to sit down, put up, shut up, don't ask questions. If we ask questions, we're considered disruptive.
Yep.
And then how many kids today are on Ritalin and other medication because the teachers can't cope, they're under pressure, the parents can't cope, everybody's under pressure every which way. But stop and think with clarity and asking the right questions, then we can get a lot better in life.
And you know what? Science is now proving that our belief system, everything that we've fundamentally been taught, is on its head. When we begin to flip this, whether it's energy healing, whether it's, you know, in terms of just looking at the body and how we react to things, in terms of our energy systems, we should be like, even religion has tried to keep us down. We all know that. But when we start to see the truth of possibility thinking, when we see the truth of positivity and we go along that route, that's when things really, really change. But we can't do that without this rationalization of risk over reward.
Absolutely. And asking why and what, why, what, you know, Rudyard Kipling's why, what, who, how, when, where, et cetera, questions, and keep on going until you get the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going till you get the answer. Exactly it, you know, that's it.
Marvelous. How can people get hold of you, Melinda?
I have a website, which you've already mentioned, curiousyou.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Melinda Mulcahy. I think there's a one there. I don't know why, but there's a one. Otherwise, I'm on Instagram, Melinda Mulcahy. I'm on Twitter, Melinda Mulcahy. And I'm going to be doing a series of 1 to 2 minute videos on TikTok. That's going to be launching in probably about 6 weeks, where I will be giving them fundamental shifts. So not just the information. In fact, I leave quite a lot of the information out and I give people tips and hacks where they can quickly get out of the situation they're in very, very quickly. So that's on TikTok, Melinda Mulcahy again.
Marvelous. And for those listening on podcast, can you spell your name, please?
Yes. Melinda, M-E-L-I-N-D-A, Mulcahy, M-U-L-C-A, H-Y.
Fabulous. And your website, curiousyou.com.
Yep. curiousyou.com.
Fabulous. Lovely spending time with you, Melinda. Thank you so much today.
Thank you, Elaine. Good to see you.